Hello, and welcome to another episode of Burning Questions, a podcast dedicated to keeping you and your loved ones safe from home fires and other fire-related emergencies. I'm your host, Captain Chris Camacho, and today we will have a special guest joining us to shed some light on a very important topic. That topic is going to be home fire escape planning. But before we dive in, let's just take a minute and we'll introduce our guest. Our guest today is firefighter Michael Huppman. He's been with us for a good while now. So I'm going to take just a few minutes, and Michael, if you'll just introduce yourself, tell us how long you've been in the fire service and where you've served, as well as what your role is here and other previous roles that you may have held.
Absolutely. So I originally got my start in the fire service about 40 years ago in upstate New York. Served as a volunteer there for a number of years. Worked with the County Department of Emergency Management and their Fire Services Bureau for 15 years. And then we eventually moved down here to South Carolina, where I took a chief's job, where I served for approximately 5 years before coming here about a year ago, where I'm currently working as a firefighter.
Well, that sounds excellent, and we're happy to have you. So the topic today that we're going to be talking about is home fire escape planning. So can you just give us a brief overview of why it's important to have a home fire escape planning, or how we can better understand the risks associated with home fires?
So if you take a look at statistics, in 2020, there were approximately 350,000 residential structure fires. Of those, there were about 2,700 individuals that were injured. So to anything that we can do to minimize the loss of life for our families and ourselves isn't in our best interest, obviously. So we strive to ensure that the folks that are out there in a community can learn how to create fire escape plans and put them into play to protect their families.
And that's a good overview of the importance of a home fire escape plan. What are some common causes of home fires and some potential hazards associated with those home fires?
Some of the big causes come back to cooking fires, heating fires, unattended smoking or carelessly distributed smoking materials are some of the big ones, and electrical often results in a fire too as well.
I think that's our top five, isn't it?
I believe it is.
So that covers the top five causes of home fires. What would be some of the associated hazards with a home fire besides just, you know, the fire itself?
Probably the most consistent hazard that results in injury or loss of life in a residential fire is smoke. Most fire victims never see the fire. They fall victim to the smoke itself, which is why we highlight the importance of having early detection through the use of smoke detectors.
So between smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms, those are the only real way to get that early detection that you're talking about, correct?
Correct.
All right. Part of that is knowing where those smoke alarms are and where those carbon monoxide alarms are, as well as testing them and incorporating them into your fire escape planning or your fire escape drills, correct?
Correct. So smoke detectors should ideally be placed on every level of your home and inside each of your sleeping quarters. You want to ensure that they are tested on a regular basis. Most of them have a test button, so we recommend that they be done monthly. They have a 10-year lifespan on them, so obviously you want to make sure that they are replaced within the appropriate time span so that they continue to function for you.
Well, and you mentioned the 10-year lifespan. I know that the ones that we install in our community are almost exclusively the 10-year sealed batteries, which is very helpful. You don't have to change the battery as often. But how often, if they do still have the ones that have the AA batteries or 9 volts, how often should they change those batteries?
Ideally, it should be annually. Some people do it during Fire Prevention Week or on their birthday, a date that's easy to remember. I put a little piece of tape and I write the date on it and stick it on the detector so that if I happen to look at it when I'm doing a test, I can see that it was the last time that the battery was changed.
That's a good idea. And now that we have the top causes, some associated risks, as well as some good methods for early detection. What are the different components that you'll find in a home escape plan or a home fire escape plan?
First and foremost is stressing to and making sure that you incorporate the entire family in the process, not only the development of, but then certainly we want to make sure that we practice it on a regular basis as well. So we stress two ways out of the home, with the idea that if one of those more traditional means that you traverse in and out of your home becomes blocked by smoke or fire or whatever, you have a secondary means of egress to fall back on to be able to get out. Once everybody's out of the house, we tell them stay out of the house. We recommend that they have a meeting place so that once everybody's out of the house, for example, we use the mailbox at the street for the meeting place. We can be sure that when the fire department arrives, if we can do a quick head down at that mailbox and our meeting place, we can tell the fire department, hey, everybody's out, or no, we're missing whoever, and can direct the fire department accordingly. And the other big thing is to make sure that we have people call 911 from outside the home, a neighbor's house, a cell phone, that they don't, we don't want them to stop on the way out of the burning home to make a call. We want them to do that from outside. And once you're out, you stay out.
That's a good point. And I know that when I'm talking with our elementary school kids, we always incorporate this little saying, it's get low, get out, stay out. And that's just to remind the kids that smoke goes up, so you got to get low, get under the smoke. Once you get outside, you stay outside. Mm-hmm. And part of that message is telling them, you know, it's teaching them the science of what smoke does and the hazards associated. And it also teaches them that while they're crawling, they're not supposed to take their stuffed animals, they're not supposed to grab any extra items, they're not supposed to go back in for any reason, whether it's, you know, their favorite toy, their video game system, their pets, or even their parents. They always stay outside until the home is cleared and the fire department's done with what they're doing and they've said that it's okay to go back inside.
Yeah, and the other thing that we do, and I'm sure you're familiar, when you go to the schools, especially with younger children, is we want to make sure that they are not afraid of the firefighters. If for some reason they do become trapped or unable to get out, we want to make sure that we instill upon them the idea that they can't escape the fire, they can't hide from the fire by going under the bed or in the closet or something. And if a firefighter does arrive and comes into their room and they're dressed, turned out with their SCBA on, it may be a little bit overwhelming for them, which is why we try and give them the opportunity to see us fully turned out, in those school environments where it's safe and they can get an opportunity to see what we're going to be dressed like.
And so with that, some things that we really wanted to talk about is, what about people who either live in an apartment building or they have a home where the bedrooms are on the second floor or the third floor? What are some options for them to have those two ways out that you were talking about earlier?
Well, obviously the important thing to remember is to, again, to keep those two ways out, to practice those as you would with any of the escape plans. One thing I don't think we touched on is, as part of any escape plan, is to, feel the door with the back of your hand before you open it, just on the outside chance that the fire might be out there. Maybe stand behind the door when you crack it open a little bit, make sure that there's no active fire involved in the outer area there before you open the door. But if you're on an upper floor, there are escape ladders commercially available that may be some assistance where they kind of roll up and you can set them at the base of the window, which might be an opportunity. Some places advocate if you're higher than that and there's not an escape ladder available, possibly, hang a sheet out the window or something to signal to the fire department that, hey, we're up here, making sure that your door is closed and sealed as best you can with sheets or blankets, just so that you don't, it'll minimize the amount of smoke to get in there until the fire department can come in.
And that's really great advice, talking about the hanging a sheet out the window, because even though we preach really, really heavily on getting out of the home, staying low, getting out and staying out, there are some times where that's not going to be possible. Let's say you're in your bedroom, and like you said, you check the door with the back of your hand, the door is hot. If you're on the second or third floor and you don't have an escape ladder, you have very limited options. So hanging that sheet out the window is an indicator for us that somebody's in that house. And I know, at least for our department, the first thing that one of our officers will do when they get on scene is they're going to walk around that home, and they're looking for hazards for the firefighters, but they're also looking for indications that show where the fire is or where the fire might be heading. They're also looking for indications that there's someone in one of the rooms. And we don't necessarily have to go through the home to get that person out. We can put a ladder up and take you right out the window. Hmm. That way you don't have to enter that toxic atmosphere.
That's right.
And so with these home escape plans, home fire escape plans, how often should families practice those?
At a minimum, semi-annually. You know, we always, I know in my previous fire service life, we used to, when we went to the schools, kind of gave that to the kids as homework, where they would have to go home and get with their families. And we gave them grid line paper and allowed them to kind of sketch their home and draw the rooms and create an escape plan with their family. And then suggested to them that they practice it with their family, maybe make a contest out of it. You could time it. And, you know, the last one that got out had to, you know, do the dishes for a week or whatever. something to try and instill them the importance of designing and implementing a plan and then practicing it. Because if we don't practice it, it's not going to do you any good. The more you practice, just like we in the fire service, you know, you play the way you train, the more you practice it, the more proficient you'll be at it.
Is there anything else you'd like to add when it comes to home fire escape planning?
I think just the to pass the word along and express the importance of that. With our goal, obviously, is to minimize the impact of fires, or ideally be great to reduce all fires. In the back of our mind, we know that's probably not possible. But if we can save one life by having a family develop and implement these escape plans, then it's well worth it.
Oh, absolutely. So I really wanted to take some time and say thank you to you for sitting in with me today. I feel like we've covered some really good ground. We've gotten some really good information out to the listeners and to the public.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
All right. So this podcast was made possible by the Boiling Springs Fire District in Greenville, South Carolina. We hope everyone has a wonderful day. And remember, stay safe out there.